the revelation and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I've been enjoying myself very much in the province of Saskatchewan. You know, years ago, having lived in Alberta, you know, there's always rivalry between provinces, and I didn't even believe that Saskatchewan was really as good a province of growing grain as they were. I thought Alberta had to be better. And I always kind of thought Alberta was such a great province. I mean, it changed my mind to tell you the truth. It's like Saskatchewan has done a whole lot better. And no aspersion cast out Brother Paul Bree now. But after I was born there, he just moved in. So I can feel free to, you know, to say things like that. But most amazing, really, and gratifying also to see this province with the fine work here in bringing this message. As a former Albertan, I'm not envious of you. I'm merely envious for Alberta that they also might have more of this ministry. But I have to congratulate you on your growing and on your love of the Lord and the spiritual perception that God has given you in reading this word. And I'm very happy to be here. I admit Brother Lazinski's right that somebody comes by and says, "You're in no rush." I'm not in any rush either, really, when it comes right down to it. The only thing is, the days are going by so rapidly. And I simply can't, make the day last several days or several days act as though they're one day. And I'm looking at my calendar today, counting up, and I guess I really did schedule myself pretty tight by not coming a week earlier. However, there's always such a thing as the Lord, if he sees necessary. I don't know how necessary. He didn't need to be around anyway. But if he thought it was necessary, I could be here. I know he'll work something out. But it's been good to have been here thus far, and as long as I'm here, I know it'll be just wonderful. Now, in Kinistano with Brother Thorson, I was bringing some messages on viewing the accomplishments of Calvary through the resurrection, showing that the resurrection of Christ proves what he accomplished in the high priesthood. He is mediating that which he achieved for us. And also, the folks from Herschel came over, and they were in on the other messages that I only preached one at their church. And then they came over to hear the other. Now tonight, I want to continue with the subject of proving by his resurrection what Christ accomplished by his death, or perfect fourfold deliverance by the blood. And this will be following the others, but not the same. It's the showing what he accomplished in his death, and also showing the great fourfold perfect deliverance by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before we study, shall we just bow our heads once more in prayer? God, Heavenly Father, we draw nigh unto you by this same shed blood of which we're speaking, and knowing, Lord, that it's the perfect entree to you. In your presence, Lord, you can come boldly. And we know, Lord, that in the Greek it set forth is with free spokenness, able to come, Lord, and to talk to you, to come right in your presence. As you said, come now, let us reason together. To tell you, Lord, what we don't understand. Ask you what it's all about. To ask you, Lord, for many things we have need of. And you are there, guaranteeing what was accomplished to be effective in our behalf. So we know, Lord, we're on blood ground tonight. On accomplished ground. Redeemed ground, Lord. That there isn't any gap to it. It's real. And we're just so grateful, Lord, the song we were singing about the rock that was cleft, how that we can come, nothing in our hands we bring. Simply to thy cross I sing, rock of ages cleft me. Let me hide myself in thee. How true that is. Not offering any price of ourselves, but offering the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for that, Lord. We just therefore know that as we bow our hearts to you tonight in simplicity and humility, we believe, Lord, that you'll help us to see what we want to see tonight in the Scripture here, to make it real to us, to reveal it to us, show us these things. we just stand on the ground, Lord, that this is possible. And not just possible, but it's ours tonight. We're claiming it by faith because of what you did, not because of what we are in ourselves or anything like that, but because of what you did. We stand here and we just praise and believe you, Lord, that we're going to hear the word of the Lord, not the word of man. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to read in Romans the 3rd chapter, then the 5th chapter, and then go back to the 4th. Book of Romans is a tremendous book. Beginning in verse 21 to 26, but now the righteousness of God without law. You should take a little pencil and cross the word "the" out. It is not in the Greek. But now the righteousness of God without law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. All right, Romans the 5th chapter, verses 9 to 11. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the reconciliation. In other words, translated entirely wrong, it is not atonement. You have not received the atonement, you see the reconciliation. Okay, Romans, the 4th chapter, 21 to 25. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but to us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Now, in 3 former messages we have been viewing the sacrificial atoning, expiating, shedding of blood death of Jesus Christ, and we saw what it accomplished for us because it was accepted before God for us. And we saw the perfect deliverance, how perfect that deliverance was in the blood, and the absolute perfection of it was set forth here in the Word, a few places like Hebrews, the 10th chapter, 16 to 22. This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their heart and their minds, I will write them, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which is dedicated for us through the veil that to save flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Then again in Hebrews, and that shows the state of the believer, how that he comes right to the presence of God by from being a sinner through the blood of Jesus Christ. And over in Hebrews 12:18-24, for we are not come unto the mount that might be touched that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which that voice they heard entreated that the words should not be spoken any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through the dark. And so terrible was the sight, Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come unto Mount Zion, be the first with condemnation, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company and angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, that's the book of life, and to God the judge of all, unto the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator, that's the one who causes to function, the covenant, new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, you'll notice here what the blood has done for us. It has taken us all the way from being sinners, or rejected of God, nothing that we could possibly do, right into the New Jerusalem itself. Now, of course, we know that the Bible is concerned with the redemption of fallen sons by the blood, right from Genesis 3:21 to Revelation 22:1-3, which once more is the New Jerusalem. Man not having only fallen from a very gracious state here in the world, which state we would love to be in as human beings, but we go far beyond it to the state of glorification, to the hovering presence of Almighty God, where there is never any shadow of turning, but the perfections of God Himself eternally. Now, this is all accomplished by the blood. Now, the greatest prophetic revelation of all of history was in the book of Daniel chapter 9, 24 to 27, where Daniel was given the revelation of the 70 weeks. And in the 70 weeks, we have to find an absolute consummation of the history of mankind, both the Jew and the Gentile, which brings into the millennium, to the white throne, on unto the eternity of the New Jerusalem. And you'll notice in there the key to all of it is Messiah cut off, because it all deals with redemption. And here is redemption by the Redeemer. See? Then you go further and you'll find that Paul the Apostle sets this all for us in chapter 1, Ephesians 1 to 23. And he actually goes even beyond Daniel, because Daniel starts at the place of history and shows where history no longer continues because it's caught up into eternity. But Paul doesn't do that. Paul goes right back to eternity, swings through the whole cycle into eternity, and he said, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, brother, I don't know why we have neglected the blood for so long. Thank God it hasn't neglected him. Because, you know, our faithlessness all the more proves the faithfulness of Almighty God. See? My, how gracious is that blood, see? So, Paul sets forth in Ephesians 1:1-23, the complete eternal purpose of God, wherein we see that the ultimate and never-ending headship of Christ in and over the bride can only be realized by the blood that was shed. See, I know many people say, but Brother David, you've got to have the Holy Ghost. And you just tell me something flat. No blood, no Holy Ghost. No chicken, no egg. Yeah. No blood, no Holy Ghost. Why? Because there'll be no place for repentance. And the Holy Ghost baptism depends upon repentance. Now, let us look at our scripture reading in order to see exactly what is ours by His death and made effective by His resurrection. So we go back to the book of Romans again, the third chapter, 21 to 26. Now, the righteousness of God without law, without any law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them to believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in thee, Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, there are five tremendous words to consider. First of all, in verse 21, the word righteousness. And in verse 24, the word redemption. In verse 25, the word propitiation. And in verse 25 also, the word forgiveness, the forgiveness of sins. And then also we have here in verse 26, we have the thought of justification. He is a justifier. Now, In reading, continuing in Hebrews 5, I mean, sorry, Romans 5, 9 to 11, you notice, just much more than now being justified by His blood, see, there's a continuation there, we shall be saved from wrath through Him, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also enjoy in God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. So, we add another great word, which is reconciliation, bringing six words entirely to our attention. And in Romans 4, 21 to 25, which we'll read again, and having been fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore is imputed him for righteousness, for now it was not written for his sake alone, as Abraham, that it was imputed to him, but unto us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered in death for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Now here, in Romans 4, 21 to 25, we have the proof that all of these things which we have read to you are ours by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is the high priest to his own blood. What was accomplished in his death is guaranteed by his resurrection or his life. It's guaranteed to us. See? And we must never forget that. But that's what the resurrection is all about. The proof, the guarantee that what was accomplished in his death is absolutely ours, and he is mediating it right now. He is adjudicating. He is seeing that as high priest, we get exactly what was laid out in his death. See? Now, never forget it. And in this our day, the William Branham prophet day, the Melchizedek priesthood, proving it openly, blasting it across the heavens, Melchizedek in full view, proving himself openly to be Hebrews 13 and 8, absolutely the Word of God expressed. There it is. You cannot deny it. Everything that Christ procured by His blood has been shown to be available to us. Now, these six great words, righteousness, redemption, propitiation, forgiveness, justification, and reconciliation, have to do with Ephesians 1:1-23, wherein is set forth the eternal purpose of God relative to the facing with Himself of those sons who were fallen away from Him by sin. It is redemption by His blood, according to Ephesians, the first chapter, and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now, what I keep trying to show you is this, that this redemption is eternal because He was crucified before the foundation world. So therefore, everything that we have to do with and deal with concerning God is based on redemption by the blood. Now, this is the foundation, the key to everything. See? In other words, it must be procured for us and available before it's sealed in by the Holy Ghost saying, it's yours and it's guaranteed. Now, the Holy Ghost is the guarantee of it. But I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. You know as well as I do, a guarantee is not worth the paper it's written on unless there's some kind of a substance. Neither is the guarantee of the Holy Ghost worth the paper it's written on unless there's a substance. See? But when you've got a substance and the guarantee of the Holy Ghost, and all truth, and proven at this end hour by the Melchizedek priesthood, Melchizedek himself in spirit form, and veiled in a human form. Oh, how people stumble over God in human flesh. Mother, sister, right in this enzyme. Absolutely proven. He's the same yesterday, today, for blasting across the sky. Now, Brother Branham would break down, telling that he's familiar with that. The road he said, every single title comes. And every one of those titles means something to the human race, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the work accomplished, and the written guarantee, the Holy Ghost. Perfect and beautiful. Now, this great redemption for fallen sons requires and includes propitiation, forgiveness, righteousness, and reconciliation. The reason I dropped, you'll notice in here, is that propitiation is one, forgiveness is one, but righteousness and justification are the same. Because justification means to declare righteous. So we have propitiation, forgiveness, righteousness, and reconciliation. Thus his death, by the shedding of his blood, must give us all of this. And his Melchizedek priesthood to his blood guarantees it to us and proves that it is so. Now if that proves it is so, then how can a person escape receiving the Holy Ghost? You see, this message has got to be reduced to simplicity. It does not go over our heads, but goes into our hearts. How can it not be so? See? How can it not be? It cannot be otherwise. That's why it's no longer by sensation jumping up and down and screaming and every other thing going on. It is faith in His Word. You receive the Holy Ghost by faith. What is faith? A revelation. Then, brother, sister, what is greater than faith? I'll tell you what. Something faith stands right here. But you have the time when faith brings it to reality. And let me tell you that. When that Melchizedek priesthood was here, we never saw faith anymore. That faith, we saw reality. Now the scripture says what a man sees that he had hoped for. Huh? You follow me? Well, you just can't. You should have heard all the other sermons. See? Listen, I'm not foolish. The prophet said this message looks so simple. Over the head. Seven seals, seven thunders on it. We're in the last turn. I have no education. In the sense I'm going to have any education to fear me. It's going to be this word, brother, sister, which was brought to reality. We're no longer looking down the road. Like these men who look back and look forward. No! We've seen the kid. But God never proved any of these things away. See? Certainly, that's what it's all about. We must never forget it. See? Now, let's begin to look at this so great redemption under the four headings. First of all, we want to consider the great truth of Christ giving His life by the shedding of His blood and thereby becoming the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation in the Greek signifies an expiatory sacrifice. That's what it means in the Greek. Propitiation means an expiatory sacrifice. There can be no expiation without a sacrifice. So now it is a sacrifice to expiate. The word expiate is to atone. Means to atone. It means to do something to acquit the guilty. See? It means to make amends. It means to make reparations, like in war reparations. See, while you invaded our country, did all these awful things, or you did something, now we're going to make you pay a price. See? There's something got to be done to balance what was unbalanced. There's got to be something done to make amends. Something's got to be done. See? All right, then that's what the expiatory sacrifice is. That something was done about something, which is the sin question. And it was done sacrificially. See, it cost something. See, and the demands were met. Somebody paid a price. See, in other words, you just don't think in terms of, let's say we're going to give you $10 to get a chair. That's not it. See? It's something that was destroyed, broken, rendered null, harmed, marred. And it's just like you're coming to somebody's car. You don't get his car. You're paying the money to them. Now that's what we're talking about. The expiatory sacrifice. Something was done concerning the situation that was wrong. God was violated. His honor, the whole system, the whole thing violated. Now there's got to be something done about it. See? So that's the sacrifice. That's the sacrifice. Now, It is the same word that is always used in the Septuagint, which is the Old Testament in Greek, to signify the mercy seat. I want to repeat that. The word propitiation is the same word always used in the whole Old Testament and New Testament, because it's in Greek. And that's the Bible that Jesus used. He didn't use the Hebrew. Paul didn't use the Hebrew. The apostle didn't use the Hebrew. They used the Greek. And it means a mercy seat. See? You hit the fellow's car. Now he's going to show his mercy. God was violated. See? The whole thing into sin. Now, there's a mercy seat there. Thus, if we understand something about the sprinkling of the blood over the mercy seat, we ought to understand something about this great doctrine, because that's what we're talking about. The mercy seat, the sprinkling of blood. We can know how Christ atoned for our sins. It'll help us. To begin with, what is the mercy seat? It is the lid over the ark that stood in the holiest of holies, where the cherubim stood on either side. See? And God came down between the two of them. Now, this lid of the ark, the ark is a box like affair, made out of various materials and painted over with gold. And in there was the word of Almighty God, which word had been violated. Now, when you violate the word, you violate God. When you violate God, you violate the word. Now, there must be blood brought into there. Now, over this mercy seat, God dwelt amongst his people, and he dwelt and dealt. D-W-E-L-T and D-E-A-L-T. He dwelt and dealt with his people. See? Once a year, the high priest had to atone for the uncleanness and the iniquity of the people. This atonement was accomplished by the high priest taking two goats, not one but two. One he killed and sprinkled the mercy seat with his blood. The other he laid his hands upon and confessed the sins of the people and sent it off to the wilderness bearing the sins of the people. Now that's what happened. Now watch. In this act, we see the living sacrifice actually was a victim to the sins of Israel. Therefore, to expiate requires a victim. You've got to be a victim. That's why you'll see in every foreign religion, where blood is offered, there is always a victim. That's why you'll see women sacrifice as victims, women sacrifice, baby sacrifice. There has got to be a victim. In other words, the person not involved in the discrepancy must make up the discrepancy. See? The person that didn't do it. Somebody's got to be a scapegoat. Ever hear of a scapegoat? That's the fellow you put all blame on. See, that means vulgar man, he's the pastor. Yeah. He was out taking blame. Because something's got to be done about it, see? So, in this act, we see the living sacrifice actually was a victim to the sins, for the sins of Israel, and to the sins of Israel. We see this life of the sacrifice was not chargeable with the sins of the offerer. You couldn't say to that sacrifice, look, you're paying for what you did. You got it coming to you. You couldn't take that goat and say, oh, your button gauge over, you butted the wall down. See, the victim is not chargeable with sin. Now let's get a picture because I'm driving hard. Everything's in this message. The victim is one who is not chargeable. You couldn't put your finger on him and say, you did it, because he didn't do it. See? The victim did not do it. Now, the sacrifice was not the one who sinned, nor could be charged with the sin. In other words, a guiltless life was given in exchange for the guilty one. Now then, listen, we have to come to an understanding here that this is what we want because it's God's way and we rejoice in it. We don't just say, oh, poor Jesus, you suffered from my sin. Oh, you shouldn't have done it. So, I just wouldn't want my sins to be on me. Now, you can get very emotional, very deceived in religion. And spiritual things also. We can be very deceived. But you know the funny thing, the strange thing is, on judgment day we have to stand before him, we're going to be mighty glad to shuck it all off on him. So therefore we need to have a very definitive understanding in this hour exactly what about that propitiation, that expiatory sacrifice, that mercy seat. What was done at that mercy seat? A guiltless one died for the guilty. And they took it at God's word, this was so. And they said God was so. And they washed in it because it was so. Because without the blood of that goat, that goat being shed, and that other goat, God would not have dealt with Israel and dealt with Israel. He could not have borne their sin, see? Now, and because of this, and because of the life of such an offering for sin, God was able to accept the people in sight and pass over their sin. See, because of it. Because that life was not associated with the people, because the people were knocked down. They didn't have a chance. So he had to get something else or somebody else. See? They said, all right, for the time being, I'll take the blood of the goat. See? And the one goat died. Turn to the mercy seat. Lay your hands on the goat. Confess the sin. He also took a little blood in it and turned him up. And it said, borne away. Now, God, this, I've been appeased. And this born guilty goat that hadn't done one thing. In fact, I want to tell you something. It was the sins of the people that made that goat what he was. Would he have gone around butting people and being mean? No, sir. It was man's sin that corrupted nature. And now this poor innocent goat has got to take the place of the people. And he's got to suffer for it. And you see, God could accept it for the people. Because this one hadn't done it. And he said, all right, I'll let you go free. See? Now that's what we're beginning to understand concerning propitiation. God had to take a life that could not be charged with the sins of the people. Now remember, Jesus was not charged with sin. He was sinless, and he was separate from sinners. How could he have been born in sex? Like you and me, and he's separate from sinners. He was separate. And in plain, vulgar language, he was made the goat for you and me. Make a sacrifice for sin. Because that's exactly what the atonement is all about, that mercy seat. A blameless life must be given for the guilty. As we are associated. See? That's exactly the way it was. Now, the shed life of the goat did not keep the people from sin, but it did cover their sin, so that God could deal with them as his people. They could live in his sight. The blood came between them and God and hid their sins. From this we learn that the very nature of God is the reason or the necessity for the atonement. You say, well, I thought that man sinned. Therefore, he needed propitiation. Well, if God wasn't bothered by sin, why would he need propitiation? What if God weren't bothered by sin? Most people aren't bothered by sin, they enjoy it. But God is bothered by sin. The very nature of Almighty God is that there has to be something done about it. See? Sin cannot, and consequently no sinner, can stand in his presence. So the shed blood signifies an acceptable life has been given in substitute for the unacceptable life. The good has died for the bad. The godly has died for the ungodly. Now, the ungodly can draw near and stand in the presence of the Lord because of the godly blood. That's what I read in Hebrews. That's what I read in 12th chapter. You can go all the way from being a rotten sinner to the new Jerusalem by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost baptism is a witness to it if you're one of them. And the evidence of the Holy Ghost is that you're one with that word as it's displayed before you. See? You talk about simplicity. You don't only have the carpenter bringing the material out, he goes to the house. See? But which is the way God does these things. Now, the scripture says we have been made nigh by the blood of Jesus. The closed door to God has been opened. As Brother Branham said so beautifully, it was death once to enter in, and now it is death not to enter in. Why? Because the way has been opened. It says it's been consecrated to us. God says, here it is. It's for you. It's consecrated. Do you realize that that means that that is a cornerstone? And the cornerstone is redemption through the blood. And the cornerstone is that. You tell me the rest of the building is not the same. Oh, my. Who's going to come down to the headstone? Redeemer. For redemption. And if this book is open, you're going to tell me, as I said, every time I keep telling you, I go to the library to get a book on dogs, and every chapter tells about cats. I'm going to say somebody boo. You're going to tell me that all of history is about redemption, and then I find something else about redemption here. I say, you read the Bible. And that open book is because of redemption. The seven seals, the seven thunders, all redemption. Pointing through the blood and the high priesthood of Jesus Christ. Man of the whole God. What are the demons with you now? See, now Kevin is very still in demon form. See, the Ephesians open, the last closing verse of Ephesians, from eternity to eternity. We're in it now. Don't even know. We need a little Pentecostal bloodness right now to check it. It's running around this building until it gets free. We're in it. Might not know it. That's so made up hand, brothers, if it started to come down with that show. Because he does all three coming in. Now, above all, let us get this thought clear. This laid down in death life of Jesus witnesses that all approaches to God on our part are forever impossible. Let me repeat it. This laid down in death life of Jesus, dying on Calvary, sacrifice, witnesses, for these things, that all approach to God on our part is forever impossible. And how are you going to get to it, doesn't it? Well, why are we trying? Why are we even thinking? Why are we even thinking? Why do we reason? Look, I'm going to go there, trying to get up. I'm going to break my neck, trying to get up. Let's go there. How are we trying to get to God in any other way but by that blood? We're trying to. Oh, we're trying. We'll scream, we'll shut, we'll join our own gate, have a clean dog, we're done. Huh? Oh, let's go, let's tell us. But let's understand, this laid down in death life of Jesus witnesses that all approach to God on our part is forever impossible. Hebrews, which we're looking at, the 10th chapter, which we were reading, and that tremendous verse, which is the 19th verse, he says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, no other way. Now, if we got there, it was by the blood. And if we think we're there tonight and we don't honor that blood, let me tell you flat, I doubt if we're there. I doubt if we're there. I'd be sincerely. But, brother, the other thing is, I have to keep myself there. Oh, it's time. Find that in the Bible, please. I want to be thankful. Now I say it. By thy words thou art justified, or by thy words thou art condemned. I want to know. You say, well, I left it. How are you going to get back? Oh, I'll do something fine out of myself. How are you going to do it? Okay. Why don't we see it? Now, let's read. By a new and living way which he has dedicated for us, the cornerstone, through the flesh, that was granted. and having an high priest over the house of God, and every one of stone, and we're there without the blood? How's the Holy Ghost going to take you and me and put us in that living temple without blood? But if you come by the blood, how are you not going to get in? Hey, makes it all the more simple. Oh, it's so simple, but it's right over here. Now, if someone gives me a dollar bill, I got a dollar bill. Somebody opens the door here, I don't know if it's a wall, you open the door, that's all. Okay? Now, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, and let us hold fast our confession without wavering, for he is faithful to promise. His blood was shed, his blood remains, he mediates it, he intercedes with it. It's ours now. And the Holy Ghost baptism proves we've got it. And the evidence of the revelation of this word shows that the Holy Ghost is here. I'm going to tell you something, but let's face it. Either there's a wrong Holy Ghost teaching wrong things, or there's a lot of dumb people. Now, God made up your mind. Either one of the two. Could be two things. There be dumb people, or the Spirit's not doing a good job. Right. You know what the truth is? He is a tremendous teacher, but there aren't many. He is not. That's the whole thing. How are you going to get nigh without that blood? How are you going to get in? So I've got the Holy Ghost. See, I'm the baptized in Christ. No, without the blood, I'm sorry. As Brother Man said, don't try to get to the top of the ladder until you start the bottom. Sure. The blood of Jesus Christ. Now, see those two things. Innocent lamb dying for the guilty, not his sins, not Christ's sins, see? No, our sins. Secondly, no approach to God but by this blood. The guiltless dying for the guilty. I have to accept that. Walk off a barrel and say, God, Jesus, guide me and stand there and never move. Okay? You've got to accept it. Many people do not like to accept anything handed them or by a gift. Hard to understand. Israel wanted to work their way. We like to work our way. It won't work. It is blood or nothing. Jesus died. The blood was shed. He was guiltless. I am guilty. I accept it. Okay? The next thing is, remember, without that, there is no approach. With it, there is. If I accept it, I am bold in front of his throne, and that means freedom of speech. I can talk loudly to God. I can reason with God. I can speak with God, and he can speak back. See? The very holy presence of Jesus Christ. Now listen, no man can shut that open door to God. Let's go to the book of John. See, here's where the power comes, brother, sister, in Revelation. Now, 10 and 7. Then Jesus said, there is in you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved. And shall go out and find pasture. Verse 15. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 18. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. 27 to 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I am my Father one. Right here, you can see that no man can shut that door. No man can. He said, I have a word from God, a commandment. Lay down my life and take it again. And absolutely that was right. That's why he could not be held in there. See? Coming up to mediate for us. Now, thus we see, we have a peace through the blood.
I don't have to pay for the damaged car. I don't have to pay for all the things I've got. I don't have to. I am no longer involved in a lawsuit with God. It's over. I cannot be charged. See? Now, it doesn't say I haven't sinned, but the point is, sin has been met. The damage done. See? The perpetration of crime against God has been dealt with. So, we have a peace through the blood. But, listen, it is such a peace that leaves for us in our right no place at all. The peace that we accept will not put one feather in our cap, will not put one jewel in our crown, will not put one word of prime minister, will not put one single solitary and commendation in our behalf. It is absolutely apart from us. We come and take a free gift with brother Jesus Christ. That's grace with brother Jesus Christ. That's a propitiation. There is nothing I have done or ever can do to turn away the wrath of God. Nothing. Nothing. No other way to get to him except by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Peace comes only by and through the blood. We have nothing to do with that which we enjoy. Nothing. Now later on you got plenty to do with what God gives you. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the blood. We have nothing to do with that which we enjoy. Nothing whatsoever. All we did was share in the damage. We joined the crowd. From Adam on downward, every single one of us were members of the club, sinner's club, condemned to hell. Then, Jesus died upon Calvary. See? Because the holiness of God Almighty demanded some propitiation, which is an expiatory sacrifice. Some sacrifice. You know, a sacrifice means it's not something that you give because you owe a debt. No, that's no sacrifice. That's a just payment. Because something is required of you over and beyond something you're not involved in. You make a sacrifice. Or a sacrifice, an expiatory sacrifice. Somebody somewhere is going to make amends. He's going to atone. He's going to turn away the wrath of the offended one from the offender. What was it? It was Jesus, the guiltless one, taking the place of the guilty, shedding his blood. I should have died, but I didn't die. Now, if God could take care of Israel and still look down upon them, though they have turned aside Jesus Christ, and by virtue of the fact of election, in that shed blood, and put them under the fifth seal, how much more you and I are ready to die? See? Look at the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, that's propitiation. Turning away the wrath of the offended one from the offender. It's the mercy to God into view. What has been done so that I can come to God? I am no longer excluded. As a wicked fallen son, I can come to his presence and talk to my Father, fellowship my Father. The blood of Jesus Christ draws me right back to him. That's redemption. Every fallen son of Adam can come back to God. Number two. Now we consider forgiveness by the blood. The shed blood now sprinkled on the mercy seat, and which opened the door to stand in his presence, also brings the utter forgiveness of sin. See, God doesn't bring you now and say, all right, son, I got some ears off here from here. Up here, son. Now you're some kind of son you are. Yeah. I saw what you did. And I'll never forget it either. You sure sent me. You saw me. I'm not dead now. The way God does it. Well, sir, listen, utter forgiveness. Not just bring in here. How utter that forgiveness is can be seen by the study of the various root meanings of the words forgive and remit. It goes the Bible, forgive and remit. Together they add up to these thoughts. Now, I'm not going to take the words I would have time in a complete sermon, sure, but not tonight. Because I'm taking four major thoughts, not one at a time. All right. They add up to these in the Greek. One, to bestow a favor unconditionally. In other words, no matter how rotten your condition was, it's unconditional. Well, that means that. Well, really, it wouldn't be too bad. This thing can be as horrible as hell itself.
It can be as vile as the devil himself. It could be a Pharaoh down hither, and the Herod all rolled into one. And then somebody that make them look like little ones. Sure. See? To be so unconditionally. Never mind the condition. No, sir. No matter what you look like. Nothing to do with it. Two, to completely cancel. To cancel it. See? Third, to exclude all ideas of future judgment or punishment. Excludes it all. There isn't one idea about a future judgment or any punishment involved. Fourthly, listen now. This is true. I'm quoting this just from the Bible, the root word. Deal with the guilty as though innocent. As though he had never done it. Now that's exactly what's in those words. By the blood of Jesus Christ. His brother down foot too often was red looking through red, true red makes it white. This leads us to see that forgiveness of sin by the blood of Jesus is of such perfect grace that the most vile sinner can come to the mercy seat and there receive through no personal qualification. All he's got is unqualification. Absolutely free, complete cancellation of his sins. He guarantees he will not be judged or punished in the future and be dealt with as though he had been innocent of any sin whatsoever all of his life. You believe that? Oh, you better believe it. That's a revelation, isn't it? Brother Brown had it. The great men of God have always had it. Those that God was teaching the heart had it. That's the way it's got to be. It's got to be a complete, not only a cancellation. God comes back and says, I'll cancel your debt. You dog, you, I'll never trust another one like you. So long as I live, I let him alone. Wrong thing. Did you ever cancel the debt that way? I sure haven't. He tells you flat. Yep. I got that old thing well written in my mind and heart. If the dog bites me the first time, it's the dog's fault. He bites me the second time, it's my fault. Now, it doesn't say that here. It doesn't say that. See? Now, let me read it again. This leads us to see that forgiveness of sins by the blood of Jesus is of such perfect grace that the most vile of sinners can come to the mercy seat and there receive through no personal qualification an absolutely free, complete cancellation of all of his sins and be guaranteed he will never, 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 because that's what the Greek says, be judged or punished in the future, and he'll be dealt with as though he had been innocent of any sin whatsoever all of his life. And also as though he were incapable of doing it or would ever do it again. After why? Through the blood of Jesus. Not through the Holy Ghost now. Oh, no, no, the Holy Ghost will come because you got it. Remember, justification, sanctification, baptism. See? Certainly, that's exactly what it is. Now, and it must never be forgotten that all this lies in the power of the shed blood. And though the sinner is the recipient of this grace, he does nothing for it, nor can he ever repay it. No, sir, he'll never repay it. He has no part in producing it. His only part is to believe and to accept it. Over here in John, chapter 5, and in verse 24, verily, verily, I say to you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, sent him to death. I'll just send him. He that believeth on me dying. Not just believe it on me. Believe it on me as a scripture has to. I'm preaching scripture tonight. You believe on that kind of a Jesus? Brother, sister, any other Jesus is a phony. Yes, he is. He's a phony. I'm telling you the truth. It's a scriptural Jesus we believe on that gives us this. Not to fog the imagination of some man or the trembling of the word of Almighty God, but it's Jesus. Revealed the apostles in Luke 24, all the scripture concerning himself, so that risen one came down and did the same thing, and we saw him the lily of the valley, the rose of the ground, the offering of the lovely, we looked upon his back, who was a bleeding man. And yesterday he didn't rest. Now, tell it.
offering your bread and wine after he's the battle, and giving the last sign before Solomon off, and said, "Your mind, come on in, come on out of Solomon, come on in your mind." Oh, my. Brother, sister, don't you see when Bible says, we're not reading no second rhymes tonight. I'm in the glory land, the hallelujah, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it's right here.
Amen.
We're not playing church any longer. I tell you, 77 to see the bride. I don't think she's going in 77. She should go before 77. The way I see it, it's just so simple, I could go before 77. If I don't rapture, hold my heart again. And I should go. Let the heart cheer up by giving it to Jesus. Oh, that's the way you know. I trust them. Listen, let's keep reading. Acts the 5th chapter. And in verse 31. Here. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. See, he raised him to make sure that the blood would work. High priest his own blood, executor to his own will. He did it. That's why he didn't know them. How are you going to lose one of those names off the record when you got something for him? Oh, I've got a great thing here. John, are you there? No, he's having somewhere else. What did you lose your inheritance? Oh, come on. I'll lose nothing. But raise him up the last day. Why? Because that's the command of God. This command have a receiver for it. Lay your life down, Taylor, because I'm going to lay that in the field. What do you get? See? Now God raised him, exalted him, and encouraged the truth. Okay, Romans, the 4th chapter. And verses 7 through 8. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Doesn't say, doesn't sin. Says God will not impute him. God, he said, well, Lord, you saw me sin. Don't know anything about it. Now, people might get some shoddy idea of eternal security, but let me tell you that real eternal security lies right here. The man that takes the blood of Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost answers back to that man cannot have sin in Judah's life. Now, God will, he goes off the path. That's what I'm saying. Scripture says, bring us up where we ought to go. Child cannot depart. And brother man said, listen, I'll tell you, the kid may try to depart in that. That teaching, but that teaching won't depart from you. True. You can't get away from God. Okay, Ephesians. Now look at it. The 4th chapter. And it's verse 32. Here. And be ye kind one another, and tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Remember, your forgiveness doesn't actually depend upon anything you ever do, but upon Christ. See? And if you hold mouth and heart to somebody else, you'll pay a price for it. See? That's what the Christian, he's just got to learn to forgive just like Christ forgave him. It's unmerited favor. What Jesus did, we can do also. It's true we can do it if we want to. I'm saying you can't do it, you can do it. People all say, well, I can forgive, but I can't forget. That's all the hog was. Forgiving, forgetting is a part of forgiving. Now, Hebrews 9:22. Almost all things are for the law of the blood, and without shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. So with the shedding of blood, there is forgiveness. 1 John, all these verses you know, but I'm going to move it. The 1st chapter, and in verse 9, reading on. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make a liar. His word is not in it. My little children, these things run of you, if you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the turning away of the wrath. But this is, he's the mercy seat. He is the expiatory sacrifice. He makes every reparation. He pays every price of him. And not for ours only, but for the whole world. In other words, the blood could cover the whole world. If they want it. That's why no child dying will ever see the judgment. They never do. No child dying. He's covered by it. Why? Because he's just such a little girl. Okay, the 12th verse of the same chapter. I write unto you these two little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. What's Jesus' name say? Why the sake? Because he died. See? were off the hook because he paid the price for you and for me. And now, thirdly, let us consider righteousness and justification. On that two business, how will I believe it? Even more perfectly defined, it is the power of God himself, and we can only have it if he sovereignly wants to impart himself to us or indwell us and giving us a major spirit. The only way. Now, look how it is put. Now, apart from law, God's righteousness has been manifest. Apart from law means without any law whatsoever. Now we know that there is nothing outside of God that is apart from law. Nothing. Nothing outside of God or what some kind of a law. Gravity, this thing, that thing, molecular valence, and cohesiveness, affinity, all those things which I know science, but I know that much about it. Everything has a law but don't. All things are by some sort of law, except God himself, who institutes or creates law and maintains it, because all things are made by God, and all things are maintained by it, and that's by law.
Amen.
Now, so this is an attribute of the internal Creator himself. Now Paul says, and this was witnessed to or prophesied by the law and the prophets. Okay, let's find out. Let's go back to the law and prophets. Go to Jeremiah. And if you take the book of Psalms first, you can hold your hand there. Because we're going to get the book of Psalms in a minute. But it's the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verse 8. In his day, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. God himself, the righteousness of the people. Okay, Psalm 71. Beginning, verse 2, 15, 16, 19, 21. Okay, deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Verse 15, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the days. 16, I will go and ascend the Lord. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. 19, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hath done great things, O God, truly thy government. 24, my tongue shall also talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded. Now, Isaiah, chapter 53. Verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant declare righteous the offense. For your brother, that's on the cross. How could you declare anybody unrighteous on the ground of the shed blood as their advocate, as their shield? How can anybody under the blood of Jesus Christ be declared a sinner? And brother thou said, why would sinners sin unto there be nothing left? How could sin get between Christ and that precious blood? It cannot. See? The words of the prophet. It's strange, it's beautiful. Okay, now let's see the picture over here in Christ. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Verses 1 to 14, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices, which be offered year by year, continuing, make the comers their unto perfect. Now listen, it said the blood shed by bulls and goats only saved the hands of God, but did not make the person come perfect for righteous. As righteous as God himself. But that's the only perfection there is. Now, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once heard should have had no more consciousness of sin. That's why the prophet said, me, since that moment I have had no more consciousness of sin. Now see, that's stunning, but you know what? Unless you get stunned into true faith, you'll never overcome to where you have this life. You can say what you want until you come to that place, as Brother Benson, when the bride knows who she is to go. Or would you say, but I know myself, do you know yourself? Or you tell me about yourself. Well, you're going to lie. What do you mean? Or somebody else asked, what do you mean? All was unanimous. Man, he brings bald, his silly, rotten heart, will not accept gratis from God what God set forth, and he set forth his granted. So you always want to try to live good, or sneak around, or beg the question, or throw back on God. This is the sneakiest age of all. Under the face of man, they need it. You don't believe it, you need 10 in the book. You got to be 10. Go and get it. Get all of it. You're going to find out these three kids are no living man or peace in roads, no matter what. No one ever came to these things. The man said, and he meant it was true, his ministry, because I knew men that were under his ministry, he under his ministry, and I never got people like it. And he said, the day when I realized I was a righteous God, devil could not stand before me in a tent, in a blind eye. See, there's the victory right there, in realizing what we are in Christ and what he is, not what we are. The sacrifice is separate from the sin. The life extended is separate from the guilty. And we're not running on anything else of our own, we're running on his. The required sacrifice has been given. The condition set. And God has become plumb open to the sin. Now we begin to see some things. See? Now, no man sins. But in those sacrifices, there is remembrance again, made of sins every year. Now, said the remembrance of sins was because of the first sacrifice. But if there's one sacrifice, once what? In the coming minute. What does it work? We take our place as those guiltless and saints and righteous in the sight of God. For it's impossible that the blood of golden goat should make take away sins. He can't. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice an offering, thou wouldst not, but a body that thou be fed me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices, for sin that hath no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come to find the book, and rid of me, do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice an offering and burnt offering, an offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hath any pleasure in it, but to offer to by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will you are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and no more. Your brother Gale Baptist, don't you understand again? Go ahead, you're doing it now. You're killing the second one. But under yourself. And the minute you try to kill God the second time, you know sacrifice because the first one's wrong. Then how can a Baptist person be lost? Now, where's the doctor? I'm not dealing with imagination on reason. I'm dealing with the Word of God. I don't say that for my imagination, your imagination, your reason, or my reason, your spirit, and our spirit. I'm dealing with the Word of God this morning. Because I will sooner go to hell and the lake of fire, preaching this thing right, than go to heaven and preach it wrong. And you do what you want it. That's my thing. I have something in my heart that wants the honor of God of hell, a rotten sinner that I am in my own self. I'll never be the right God. I only said one thing. A revelation of the Holy Ghost. Now it says right here, there cannot be a consciousness because it was done once. Before. See? Now, and every priest that standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin, but this man, after offering one sacrifice for sin forever, rose up and sat down at the right hand of God. From henceforth, especially from his enemy, made his footstool, for by one offering he hath purchased it forever, them that are sanctified. What of the Holy Ghost witnesses? The baptism of the Holy Ghost proves that you are righteous of Almighty God. Baptism of the Holy Ghost is your union with God by the blood. And so it's all over there. No record. You are now one with the Father and complete fellowship under the blood of Jesus Christ. Now this is what the Bible teaches.
I don't go to your senses. It's only your senses. I'm going to go by your senses and my senses today. Let's go home now. Because Dr. Bannon gets drunk or something. Well, you better do something to get rid of our thinking and to put us to sleep something, because we're a mess. I think we should do it on your drunk. Put a few actions in if you talk to something. I mean, I'm not kidding. I'm telling you the truth. What have you got to offer? What have I got to offer? What have you got? Now look, if you have, if you doctor has something, it had better work. And the Melchizedek priesthood right in this proof that it worked for 2,000 years. Now speaking it right now, this morning, right after the second and the third step of the rapture, Brother Kitty, out there waiting for it. It's just me, millennium. White throne, up to the heavens, back to Mount Zion. But we'll never stop it now. And Jesus Christ came here to prove that he's the battle is over. Father warned us that the redemption of Christ fell firm. Yes, it is. Day and day. Now, can't get by that. See? Now, here, apart from law, he said. I mean, just what it says. No law at all could produce it. It's got to be God. Now, the Apostle Paul, look to this. Here it is in 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. I'm sorry, the 5th chapter. And at verse 21, we all know it. For God hath made Jesus, who knew no sin, to become a sacrifice, a propitiatory offering, a sin offering, that we might be made the righteousness of God by our union with him. In other words, this propitiation and he come under allows us by the blood to go right to God and be strong to him by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then God himself is our righteousness. Now he wants to put anything else. Now you and I don't have anything to do with it. If you do, then tell me, why have you got the color eyes you got? Did you tell yourself, I want green eyes? And you like, oh, my lousy parents and green eyes. I want to set my brown eyes. How would I have known you about it? I'd have taken my pneumonia. Didn't bother with a bob. Had a baseball bat if you get a couple of guns. Top it out of it. I'd have slathered through my nose. A lot of other things. My nature can't been all over it. You think I love me? No. I have nothing to do with it. God, I'm free. And hate it. I can get from him and love it. Hard to understand. There's no need to say. First Corinthians, the first chapter, and in verse 30, it tells us, "But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, and that same Spirit of Christ by wisdom is redeeming him in his hour." Come to the church with a prophet. One of the seven eyes of Almighty God, which is one of the homes of God, demonstrating power. And he is in that, brother, because he saw the full power of God. Yes, sir, oh my. The eye just gets better and better. Brother Dan said, once you see this message, it's all the same. I don't know what you're seeing, but stick around what I tell you then. Now, let's not fail to see the full scope of this great truth. Here it is. The blood sacrifice of Jesus was so complete and perfect in its redeeming power that it far eclipsed giving us a standing before God. We just don't have a standing before God. That old thing standing doctrine. We've got a standing. It's not a standing. He gave us Christ himself to his our righteousness. God himself, he came our perfection. By the perfection of the blood dealing with our sin. And that sin question was so thoroughly sin. Christ's doctrine was so perfect that God could say, I'm a thousand great gift, and I am yours in righteousness. Let's just say now you're mine. No one of it. Fell away. You take your back and said, I'm yours. God before us, who can be against it? I hope we can see it. It is not an accomplished work that we are here to. No, no. There was an accomplished work, but it was not the end result. The end of the accomplished work, or the perfection of sacrifice, gives us the Christ who himself is our standing before God. I'm out of the picture. I'm out of the picture. See? You and I are the picture. So, righteousness is absolutely apart from man and all law whatsoever. It is Christ himself. The sacrifice, the atonement, was so perfectly satisfying that God himself became, was pleased to be our own righteousness. Now, let's go back to Romans again, the third chapter, 24 to 26. I was going to make it 45 minutes, but I got kind of carried away with all the goodies in there. And there's no use couldn't. 24 to 26, because that's, I need to do good, how about you? Being justified freely, verse 24, by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins of the past, through the forbearance of God, to declare this, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Oh, see how perfect, the perfect God himself in human flesh, God in Jesus' flesh, so that you and I so absolved from our sins, we can stand before him, and he come and say, oh, God, I'm a sinner. And he said, don't ever say it again. I'll declare you righteous. And he can do justice, because every single thing is in that. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. They shall never, never, never come into condemnation. See?
Yes, sir. He's been heading off the ground. He's been on the Baptist restaurant. He's been way down the road like Brother Bannerman. I'm not kidding. I mean, the legalism, brother, is the scourge of hell.
Yes, sir. Deny Christ. And said, thanks to Jesus, I'm glad you're there. Now I can work it out.
We are the consequence of that doctrine right today. We're all trying to work it out. You don't work it out. It is Christ in you, willing and doing, and the readiness of the peace. Greater than you is each in the world. It's a revelation. It's the power of God. Because it says right here that there is a revelation concerning righteousness. It's the fact that I know through the scripture showing that he is not righteousness. And was all made possible by the blood. Yes, sir. Humble the holy of holies to the blood of Jesus Christ. There it is. By the blood, redemption. And this to deliver by paying the price. God sent his own propitiatory. He paid his own price. And was so perfectly satisfied with the solution to the sin problem in man that he could now declare the unrighteous as perfectly righteous. The ungodly as absolutely godly. Okay, let's find out. Romans 6 chapter. By the way, now, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, even as David also described the blessings of man, unto whom God has given righteousness without work. Look, if all we had were sin by work, now we can get righteousness without work, let's gather. Because all our works are righteous, so he and he works is crooked. The apostle Paul said, you see, that by faith and work. It is by works that no more faith. It is by faith that no more work. Make up your mind. Where you go? See, this is revelation. Until a man recognizes the truth of God's word and him in the center by the power of God, that man cannot be an overcomer. I'm sorry, but I've read the book and study. I can find no other book. I'm not just me. I just can't do it. Your sincerity, your discipline, all those things are good. But it never takes the place of the reality which comes by revelation. I am the way, the reality, the life. The way is the word of God because he loves. I am the way. The reality is the revelation because that word must be revealed. And so it becomes the life. It's revelation. It's revelation. See? That's what it says right here. And we love it because it's true. And also says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And he does. Now, this is all by faith. Now, fourthly, a little thing about reconciliation. This is over here in the book of Romans, the fifth chapter, 8 to 11. All right. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
much more than being now justified by grace, or declared righteous in the sinner state. In the sinner state, you are called righteous. Why? Because the sacrifice is apart from the one for whom it is made. You never look at Jesus and look at yourself. You look at Him and you count Him. And the judge said, I pay $30,000 to go to jail. You pay the $30,000 to go to jail. You look at Him. See? Look at yourself. This Bible doesn't look at ourselves. Look at Him. Let me tell you, ask you, what did Brother Branham redeem when he opened up that book to us by the Holy Ghost? Us? Oh, lovely people. How sweet. I'm sure this is going to be lovely. And I know this subject. You have to sit there and hold him. You're going to be very sweet. I never heard that. I saw him. Huh? I never heard that nonsense. You need to tell me that. So I want to know about you and your book where I am. Don't you realize when God, when the record of God is written in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, that Moses is not credited for one sin? He's even credited as though he caused his own birth. Abraham had no sin. Sarah has no sin. Yet she's not in God's peace. And the Bible says, see the lovely Sarah, oh, gracious girl, he received strength by faith to conceive thee and bring forth Isaac. That is the way I heard it. He said, he have a son. Ha, 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 ha. That's a gift. That's not laughing. Abraham, great marvelous man. Maybe quite a lot of him around here. Well, I'll tell somebody. When God dealt with him, now he said, you have that man crazy, because though he looks like a bum, he's my prophet. I want to ask you, who said Abraham crazy? How he get away? Where's his perfect record? I'll tell you what. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not forgive. Amen. I'm not trying to make Jesus some stupid looking scapegoat. You're going to pile things around him. Listen, sin was not piled on him. The sin of us was laid on him on the ground, that he became the sin offering in our place. He stood for us. And now our sin cannot get to God because of his righteous blood being shed. Jesus Christ in his ministry. I see that you're living on there. No. Sin offering. And the sin offering, remember, the guiltless one for the gift. And if he died for your sins and mine, he was guiltless all the way through. And the Bible says so because he was that perfect one and he couldn't be held by guilt. My, what a sacrifice. What a propitiation we have before him at this hour. Now, getting over here to the 5th chapter, 8th verse. Go on. Much more than being now justified, 8th 9th verse, justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. It says right here that we are declared righteous by his blood. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, will be saved by his life. That tells you, if the blood could do that much, how much in the life of Jesus Christ in you by the Holy Ghost will see all of Calvary in you? Now, you tell me that's not revelation. That's the whole thing. It's revelation. If you don't believe it, continue to read the book over here in the 5th chapter. And see where it says, and not as by one that has sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was one to condemnation, but the free gift is for many offenses, justification. One man sinned, the little end sinned. What about all the little sinned now? Free. Jesus Christ. Millions of sinners, millions of sinners. Take the blood by the blood. Oh, my! What lies in this grace? Through Jesus Christ, Lord. Okay, let's keep reading. We're enemies. Reconciled by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we'll be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also join in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. Listen. The word reconciliation properly denotes the change. We have received the change by his death. You say, brother, here, I got to get born again. Now, just hold your horse. Get ready. Listen. How first it means to change from enmity to friendship or from enemy to friend. Or says it is.
Reconciliation means, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I am no longer an enemy of God, I am a friend of God. Now, we must be careful to note here that this change is attributed to the death of Jesus. So leave it. Oh, my brother, Bill, that's very nice of you. He removed my sin package from hippity-hippity-hop. Look, hippity-hippity-hop. There's no room for temptation. Just up right down, stand right there with it. It's the blood of Jesus Christ said, I am not an enemy, I am a friend. He said, Brother Bill. Now, don't, Brother Bill, that you may be kind of a lousy friend. Huh? But you're saying. I ask more than anything. You're sinning. By blood. Judgment. I'm going to take an item and just cut you up here. Reduce your duty. You need to be shot. Reduce your capacity on a razor blade and just drop some blood. Right now, I'm saying. Look at that blood. If I am a friend by blood. By blood. He said, nature that can be said by blood. I have been reconciled. I have had a change. I am a friend of God. I am not an enemy. So, Brother Dale, I know my nature. All I say, you realize just like me and all the rest of you. Make God a fool. Make his word a bunch of bombast and nonsense. So, God, let's face it, I now know you're not loud, but just you do. That's for him. Let's talk in tongues to make our point even strong. So I'm being very sarcastic now, sir. Because we need it. See, Lord, I want my life. Look, you're a mess. Don't you see he died and he took your place? There is nothing to do with you anymore. It's grace. I don't care if you do ask God. You're no longer an enemy, you're a friend by the blood. You're a friend by the blood of Jesus Christ. See, this is what we're trying to see here. Now, Jesus, death did it, leave it there. We must also carefully note that God has accomplished it. That God has accomplished it. It is his doing. We must also see that the change was wrought in man who is the enemy of God. The change was not wrought in God because we cannot change. So I'm reconciled to God. That means the Lord is reconciled. You know, see, God had to be appeased. And when he died appeased, he got reconciled. That's a lie in the pit of hell. It was not God, my brother and sister, who was reconciled. God always was our friend. We were the enemy, and we are reconciled. And we are the one who are saved. God doesn't change, so we've got to change. Now, where is that change? It's in the blood. There's an Adam, all died, went off, even from Christ, all are coming back. By Adam's sin, we went this way, by his death, we went that way. See? That's the picture of it. And we must come to this understanding, come to picture of that. I think we must see the change was wrought in man who is the enemy of God. The change was not wrought in God, we cannot change. It is we, not God, who are reconciled. In spite of how it looks to the contrary, the death of Jesus made human enemies the human friends of God. This is most certainly to be believed when one views what has been accomplished in the death of the Son. Look at it. Propitiation, forgiveness, justification, all freely given and heaped upon it. Surely that would make any fallen son the true friend of God and not the enemy. How could all this be done if he's the enemy? How could this be done if he's the enemy of God? I'll tell you what the trouble is. We do not believe what we've done. That's why we feel an enemy. Begin to see what he's done, and we're heir to. And then we'll begin to appreciate that I am the friend of God. Why would he have done it again? Sure, that's the thing here. All this done by Jesus makes it to be so. Friends, not enemies, as we read here in Romans 5, 8 to 11. Now, here's an example. How could old Saul of Tarsus be viewed as an enemy in the face of what great redemption was wrought in Christ? Did God speak to him as an enemy? No! Paul was his own enemy! Are you kicking against the pit? Paul, why are you persecuting me?
You're not my enemy. Who are you, Lord? John Jesus. Yes, truth, John. See, already the work had been done. See? He was his own enemy. Hard to get against the bridge. God saw him already as full partaker of all the accomplishments of Christ and granted him repentance unto eternal life. He was reconciled already. Look at how could it be otherwise except by the blood? See? Now, let us just try to remember this even more clearly. Let us ask ourselves, why are people enemies? Because there are clashes through some obstruction that keeps the person from coming to a desired end. Why has he got an enemy? Because he holds you down. He stops from getting better, right? But you try to show one obstruction now between man and God. Isn't it? If there isn't any, how can there be any? Look at 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. All things are of God, who have reconciled us himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Here's one of the great ministries, to let the world know that you're not an enemy of God, so stop seeing God as always against you. Take hold of it. God is in Christ, reconciled with himself, not in sin, you took that from him. That's the ministry. Come to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we're ambassadors to Christ, for Christ. And so God himself did beseech you by us, saying, look, I'm not mad at you. They're my friends. How does a man see friends? Just the best ever. He even died for them. They certainly. This is what we're looking at. And now, with this, we go to Colossians. I want to hold it. We've read this before anyway. Let's go to Colossians. First chapter, 22. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether it's things on earth or things in heaven, and you, who are sometimes alienated, an enemy in your own mind, but with your works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Tremendous! But if you continue to be crowned and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, he says right here, if you'll come to that place where you'll believe that word, the true revelation, and see yourself in there by Jesus Christ, his perfect atonement, his death, his life, he said, you'll get there. Now, why do you see? Can't you see what Brother Branham had to finish at the end time to prove this? See, your bride standing right here who knows it, he's going to walk right into glory. That's why he dropped the word. Sure. Brother Branham said, every age has got to have to add to it. Luther was good, Wesley better, Pentecost better, and now good. He's going to be a super age. Still don't walk the revelation of God's word. The one that passes Peter and Paul, the whole Bible. And the whole Bible, from the serpent feet to the top and the former end, goes right back and reveals the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, shows us these things. And there is Christ all the time. Brother, sister, we identify with that. We've got to be funded. No wonder, Brother Benson, you don't have enough faith for healing. When you're going to get raptured, I'll tell you when a rapture faith comes. When we see, I believe, I'm telling you now from my heart. You believe if you want. This is my message of the body. This is what I see. You get your own. So I'm telling you that to you, my message of the body. No, you can't have it. You get your own. I see this. When I see what the prophet taught and recognize myself as heir in it, I'll be caught away. You bet. You know what? I'm not very excited about it. No, what do you mean? He's gone. I won't be a part of anything anymore. Oh, I don't want to drop down here in that manor over there in the tree of light in the dark too. Yeah. I don't want these chunky clothes down here. I can put out that robe on. I don't want to mess around with this. Then bother me and I bother her. When I can use the eternal ones up there, hell, at least. And I see it's the very hour for it. Yeah. Yeah. You think I'm going to get held down here? Yeah, in faith. I'll tell you one thing, too. There's going to be a new spirit in the sea, brother, and we're going to see each other's carnival. Mm-hmm. I'll say, well, your church doesn't have the word, your church doesn't have this, 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 and he's got a hog, what you said. You and I are just babies dreaming with that nonsense. And my finger says, well, I don't need you come out here. Well, I know for the things that have this one. He said that it's going to be a revelation. We saw a living revelation. We saw a living creature later on. He saw every sign of our redemption and prophecy and laid it all on him. Men walked up. Well, I want this vision. I don't want any vision but a revelation. Just give me the revelation in my heart when I'm talking about now the next of the scriptures, to see it through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And realize, and I'm really saying it, because remember, it's got to be a mental thing before it gets to spirit. It's got to come by the mind before it gets down here. It's got to be mind and heart. And it's this. If I said before, this is here and here, then I am that. It's got to be this. Not because I say, for there's none to be a read there. I just say one today. The church is built upon revelation, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Why? Because revelation. When revelation is a dynamo, then give me revelation and death itself will not take me out of the church. Brother Sister, I thought that's the correct word of God. That's what's wrong. We want to hog it up. We're in that.
Your church, my church, is in that.
The more you cut and plan and bust apart, the worse it's going to get. And I'll tell you, it's not going to be a lot of the way it is. You need some. I better get there. You better get there. Huh? I'll probably be wrong. I don't care anybody can get on that. Really? I could be wrong, boy. Say, well, brother, the teacher didn't tell the fault. He didn't tell the teacher. Could be the one. What about Paul? I don't know. By grace and faith, I believe I'm one of them. From death, I've got a long way to go in my life. I've got only one hope, it's a revelation. And in that revelation, I want to see you there, Lord, and say, how do you guys? I see right here, too. I see my little finger, my thumb, the whole thing is working. I wouldn't see one part of not in that Spirit of God, because my body is under one spirit. It's under one light, and the little finger works. And I don't even know if it'll last down there through the middle. Because I tell you know how this little finger is this, and I say, oh, that's my little finger is just this way. You say, thank you. Father, keep it going for nothing.
Don't move away from the gospel which you heard, because Paul said to think you add one word, you'll get the page, take one word to print. And he said right here, the gospel you heard, and which will preach every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, the one that brought it. The end times of things, you stick with this prophetic revelation, the prophecy, watch how it was turning out by demonstration, and stay with it.
You'll be a super great place, just give me that word, you just give me the word. How can you not read the word that Jesus is even in the end of that? God's going to read you anyway by his word. And we're all part of that true body of Jesus.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, we are. Yes, sir. Haven't even got just a moment yet.
We won't be operated by them. I'm trying to be super serious. I don't want to be serious. You think I'm going to have some to defend it? I've got that fellow.
Over there in Palestine, is going to be a great big walk to do the thing.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's going to make you want to do it. I want to come to church and tell a little 51 to something that diabolical Trinity is dying to the just one thing. Huh? Now we're getting there. The long horse path leads this new book to the time of sinning. Ha!
Well, I don't know what sets the person very much in saying that. You can probably ask this. I don't expect myself to set you in the sense of growth and the wrong word, but I've got to respect and love. In the sense of Jesus Christ, you want to be saved. And I do, I trust. You get more and more and more. And I told on my brother, I'll live in his faith. Let me set it down. So you can go. Huh? When is that spirit going to come, brother? If it's laid down, I think you're on my trip as well. You know that. Look, I keep, I go all around America, I go to many places in the world. And it's always the same story. He has to get that kind of money. I hope I'm cutting you right down the heart, brother sister, because that's where it's got to go. The meat and the evil. We've got to see him what he did for all, so if anybody glory, let him glory in his cross, to give God the glory of saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and stand with him.
All right, there it is, listen. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship with our whole, oh, what does that speak to me? I am a friend of Jesus.
I believe he's a friend of mine. Look, he always was that. The beautiful thing is, I am a friend of yours.
And sure, because he made it. Listen, friends like Abraham. Listen, well, I'll keep back from my friend Abraham what I'm going to do. And the Melchizedek priesthood, who was our friend?
Because he sent the prophet with seven major visions.
Huh? And right now, when I'm going to the synagogue, they'll pull the curtains back of the trees and God will show their sacrifice, show us what's coming. Preach on the rapture, and the prophet has been spoken. God will be, and he says, friends of God.
Oh, prove it then.
I'm not a friend of God. I'm here to lie. You're wonderful. Thank the Lord, you're very nice to keep it in.
When you know what we do? We're all fair, and pretty soon we're going to get the fair rebuke. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I want my straight in the kicker and on the back of the head. And any place else he wants to go.
I want mine in a sooner than ever. Yes, sir.
So it's no longer worth it.
I'm going to go to you. You said a few of them.
Then who does not go? But you know. What will I please? But Jesus got him right.
What did I have that I don't have here? And what he did, really. And it was all laid out here.
Friends. Huh? Who raised his hand before? It was God of Abraham concerning the election. He raised his hand again. The election is running out. Friends of Abraham, I'm showing you what's going on. The Holy Spirit came to show us things to come. He's upborn, the form of a man.
A man like Daniel raised up. Never since Daniel has a man told another man's dream.
I saw the prophet do. Hey, that's something. Let them water loud. Oh, Paul brought him in there, came in. I don't think Paul did me a message. I don't know. That's the prophet didn't hear it from.
But then I want to tell you dream. Say dream. He said, no, Paul, I'll tell you.
And I saw the spirit in Daniel. 7 weeks, see it up. John, see it up. Unseed it. Revelation 22, right? Revelation 22. Revelation 22, unseed it. And right before, behold, I come quickly. Let him that's righteous, his righteous here. How'd you get it? And he showed it to you.
Huh? You know more than this, folks. The first step of the journey is going on, huh?
Yeah. No one of the psalmist said, salvation belongs unto the Lord, and constantly cried, O Lord, my salvation.
For that is right. Our salvation is all of God. He demanded it.
And he made a way for it. And that's in plenty. May God help us to get a true revelation of what Jesus in death accomplished for us, and now in his resurrection lives to assure its efficacy to us, and seals us all into it, into his own life, by indwelling us with the Holy Spirit, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he has been manifesting it to be so with the original proof of thus saith the Lord since 1946. What great redemption we have this day, Brother Christy, to realize what God has given us in this hour of propitiation, of forgiveness, yes, of righteousness, all of God, and a complete reconciliation. So here I come, all prepared. You know what he said? All things are ready, not come to the
but he wants the people simple enough to believe it. Well, if he said it about us, it's got to be so, because God sent it on.
Listen, Brother Fisher, remember the prophet taught us, and God said, let there be light, and there is light. Now, he also said, let there be a bride.
Let some other people use hands and feet, and they have them. Let there be a prophet to religion. Here's something. I read in the 4th, Brother Van said that this church system is an incarnation statement.
They have organized false religion, their godly spirit, is an incarnation for you. What is the bride but an incarnation of Jesus?
You look at the word out here, it's not the incarnation for you. They don't look at it.
Now, we might not look at an incarnation of Jesus either. I'm going to tell you that Pharaoh produced that son under Melchizedek Jesus. The same Melchizedek Jesus said that son's coming, and Brother Branham said the church will not be with the Christian dawn. And who's going to be? It's going to be a bride, isn't it?
Now, what is this word?
with the revelation of him.
Amen.
Since why? For fallen sons. Through being sons. Proof. Oh, it should make us feel so small but so great. You know, it should make us feel like a real healthy part of a body. You know, oftentimes the finger goes to feet. And even though our bodies are the same, we feel in the ground, we don't feel like my back. Oh, wouldn't it be nice if you had one part of the body just pinged like a silver bell? Ooh, that felt good in that part of my body. Ooh, that felt good. I want each one of us a little cells in Jesus Christ's body to just feel that pinging reality of the life of Jesus Christ for you. Don't you? I'm not giving you a lot of hogwash and temporary and old sentimental. I'm telling you the truth. I believe with all my heart. I told you to do. I haven't said one thing. I'm going to sit back and let God say, "You told him a lie." And I'll come and tell you if I told him a lie. I kind of apologize when I do, but kind of hypnotic and all of the good about that sermon. You can go to that way you want to go to church. But I'll tell you then. I'm sorry you don't have to preach your sermon because I can't go to that. I mean, I don't want to hit it. You've got to really do something that's fine. What we want to do. But I'm going to take that back, what's next? I'm going to take about one other word. Promise? I take about one other word. I believe with all my heart this is true. So I preach next to God's word. I believe every word you'll find somewhere on the page. You want to find one confidence? This is not a easy time. And remember, we're sealed in here by the Holy Ghost. He is the witness. That the full redemption Christ of Christ, all of it is I now, and I live me now. All the blood of Jesus, all the blood of Jesus, can walk white with me. All of it, the church of the first age, there were two mother dogs with the gift and all, and Paul couldn't tell them about my church. But the end time, there's an Ephesian church that Paul can tell them all about it. And there you are. Oh, brother. I don't know. If I miss it, I would definitely miss it. Sure was. Because it's all the rest of me. I'm going to tell you something. I'm satisfied tonight more than ever in my life that this prophet, William Grant, was vindicated to God. And if this isn't it, forget it. If this isn't it, forget it. Now, it was nice to try, but they didn't do anything. A problem? You made a desperate loan to catch the pain, but all you caught is the pastor. I'm glad. God said that to this man. And you know what? I'm standing with the God of William Brown, the one that answered back. And just took this book, opened this book at the end time, today. And proved by the resurrection ministry of Jesus Christ that the death is 100% effect. All we do without you and now after you that perfect moment. Why? Because he died. And he rose to his church. I'm glad he just didn't die, but at that time, that was very good. Be very good. You come. The man came by and said, "I get you and one at 1 minute. I want to take his hand and say, "Sir, I'm glad to meet you, the face of my death. You too, you're my friend, and now from now on, I can only be your friend." You left bound with this man. You know, this man is a man that does you a favor, and it says, "You've got to love him next to God." Yes, sir. And you know what? By loving Jesus, you go all the way to God. He prayed that way. You got to love him. That's why we love it. Why? Because we first love them. See, oh, how beautiful it is. Lord, bless you, tell you that. We didn't preach it long. I'm sorry, I just don't preach those short sermons anymore. Brother, we didn't want to bomb that evening. Because if I did so, I'm sorry for long. That the Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence tonight, knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ has done. Oh, God in heaven, there is no mirth left in our hearts. We could never run that blood down. We could never talk foolishly about it, Lord. We could never do it. But, oh, God, we want to just more and more glorify your name. Men have their idols, Lord. Why don't we have our idols? Idolize the glory of the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. To recognize this great thing. Oh, there's no Mary, there's nothing there, there's no Peter's and Paul's in the city, but there's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, how we stand tonight under the blood, under the cleansing, purifying blood, keeping Jesus and David under the precious blood. Sanctify tonight, O God. Oh, Lord, tonight, please take these words, not because they're mine, Lord. They've got to be your words, O God. Take your word and turn it to flesh tonight. And turn flesh back to word and word to word, the prophet said. And because we're hungry and thirst, Lord. Oh, Lord, and I see the depths that lie in that word. And I see what lies in that blood. My heart is hungry, Lord, that the deep in my heart receives the deep of the blood. Yes, by the Holy Ghost, Lord, yes, revelation. Not that I don't believe it's already worked, but Lord, not that I don't believe it's already done. But Lord, we just want to have the length and the breadth and depth of the revelation, as so we can love you all the more, and worship you all the more, and plead the blood on you, and see us all the blood. Lord, this is what we want. Here we are, Lord, don't turn us away. Lord, I don't believe you will, Father, man. Not that any better can see anybody else. It's lost, brother. Maybe a whole lot better. But Lord, tonight, we somehow that you chose us to be near this message. To see, Lord, and identify. And that being the truth, Lord, I just want to have it all a part of me, Lord. And be a part of it. We are part of each other, too, and loving each other. Yes. And forgiving each other, Lord. Not letting anything stand in long. Lord, don't let there be any misunderstanding in the more monkey. Ask him for anything. God's help. Help us, Lord, because we know the blood of judgment is bad. And Lord, we got to stand in it. Father, when I think of the blood tonight and what it means, and look at myself, I just got to admit one thing. It's got to be by grace. It's got to be a part of me 100%, Lord. But Father, for your glory, I just like one thing, the same as these people. Let this life of Christ answer back to the blood to bring forth whatever that blood has in it that we ought to answer. That's all. Lord, the rest is yours. But if there's anything there, Lord, now we will. Then, O God, we let it come with us. Bless us, one Lord. Keep us free. Keep us humble. Keep us under the door close to heart. Keep us, Lord, in the path of Holy Spirit. Fill us up to the very limit, O God. And each one, Lord, to come to the grace of God. Give himself up, Holy Spirit. Just get him job up to that. I'll say that. God, the water is flowing so deep you can float right to the other side. Swim across. Oh, it's no longer the lawn. It's no longer the soul. A river water that cannot be passed over. It's just going to steam over. Carried over in the full part of the earth by the grace of God. I believe that in my heart. And I thank you for it. Lord, if there be any sinners here, and none of those, anyone that hasn't claimed the precious cleansing of me tonight, to realize that living over you all. Nobody. It's not one step, no, it's not one nature, but it's standing there receiving it. Say, Lord, unto the blood I come tonight. I accept every bit of what is done to me. And I'll be baptized in Jesus' name. And I will receive the Holy Ghost to seal me in to all that have been happy. I'll receive the peace of Melchizedek priesthood. Yes, sir, as I receive his blessing. Yes, sir, I believe I'm a part of that great fellowship, and you will come in every day. The Holy City music, yes, sir. Oh, God, what you have done. What you have done, Lord. What you have done. God, bless them in the name. Now, I want to sing eternal and more than good for the only wise God, the all power, and our Lord, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.